Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for December 15th, 2015. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Carl White about how reduced bioavailability of hydrogen sulfide can stimulate inflammation. Obesity not only affects metabolism, it also affects the immune system. Obesity causes chronic, low-level inflammation that's associated with insulin resistance and the likelihood of developing type 2 diabetes. The pro-inflammatory cytokines that drive this state of inflammation are produced in part by macrophages that reside in adipose tissue. Adipose tissue macrophages can be either pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory, but what causes more of these cells to be pro-inflammatory in the context of obesity is not clear. A new study from Carl White's group at the Rosalind Franklin University of Medicine and Science implicates the gaseous signaling molecule hydrogen sulfide. White spoke to me from Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast, Dr. White.
Thank you.
M1 macrophages are pro-inflammatory, and M2 macrophages are anti-inflammatory. How do these very similar cell types exert such opposite effects?
Basically, it's because macrophages have a high degree of plasticity. In other words, they have the ability to change their function in response to signals that they encounter in the local environment. They need to do this because one of the primary functions is to eliminate pathogens by adopting a pro-inflammatory M1-like phenotype. However, once the pathogens have been cleared during the resolution of inflammation, anti-inflammatory M2-like macrophages can facilitate tissue repair.
In adipose tissue, more of the macrophages adopt a pro-inflammatory phenotype. How is hydrogen sulfide involved?
Well, our data don't necessarily suggest that hydrogen sulfide determines whether a macrophage is pro or anti-inflammatory, although that's really a really interesting point, and we can't actually rule that out at the moment. Rather, we show that hydrogen sulfide is depleted when the macrophage is responding to a pro-inflammatory signal. And this hydrogen sulfide depletion is actually a necessary step in the pro-inflammatory signaling cascade.
Is the abundance of hydrogen sulfide reduced just in the macrophages or throughout adipose tissue?
Well, that's actually a really good question, and at the moment we just don't know. We do know that adipose tissue possesses the necessary machinery to generate hydrogen sulfide, and certainly data from other labs has shown that hydrogen sulfide can modulate adipose tissue functions. So changes in steady state hydrogen sulfide during obesity could have effects on adipose tissue function. This will be very interesting. Indeed, we have found actually that obesity does reduce hydrogen sulfide levels in other tissues. So it wouldn't be surprising to us if the abundance of hydrogen sulfide were indeed reduced throughout adipose tissue.
Why is hydrogen sulfide abundance reduced in the adipose tissue macrophages?
Our data suggests that the inflammatory state causes an increase in the rate of hydrogen consumption relative to its production. So interestingly, the cell actually tries to compensate for this by upregulating the expression level of the enzymes involved in hydrogen sulfide production. But this still isn't enough to offset the increased consumption. And it's this tilt in the equilibrium that lowers the steady state level of hydrogen sulfide. Of course, this raises another important question, which is, how is all this hydrogen sulfide being consumed? And at the moment, we don't really know. We have some ideas, but this is something we're actively looking into.
You found that both obesity and inflammatory stimuli, specifically bacterial endotoxin, both caused hydrogen sulfide to decrease in macrophages. What is it about obesity that induces an inflammatory response in macrophages that's similar to the inflammatory response that bacterial endotoxin induces?
Well, obesity changes the microenvironment of the adipose tissue, and the macrophages respond to these changes in ways that are actually very similar to how they respond to a bacterial challenge. Now, it's important to remember that even though both stimuli are likely to share common signaling pathways, obesity and a bacterial infection are, in fact, radically different stimuli. Obesity creates a low-level chronic inflammation, wild bacterial endotoxin produces a full-blown acute reaction. So really, it's quite remarkable that under both contexts, we see hydrogen sulfide playing an important role. And we think this is actually telling us that as a signaling molecule, hydrogen sulfide is absolutely fundamental in guiding many different types of inflammatory response.
So once hydrogen sulfide is depleted in macrophages, how does that cause the macrophages to secrete pro-inflammatory cytokines?
Well, first of all, hydrogen sulfide is actually likely to influence the function of a wide range of proteins and pathways. So there's probably multiple ways in which hydrogen sulfide can influence cytokine production. So that being said, what we have done in our study is to identify and characterize one novel way in which hydrogen sulfide affects cytokine production by modifying a calcium influx pathway. So it's well known that pro-inflammatory activation in macrophages is facilitated by the influx of calcium ions across the plasma membrane. And there are many molecular components of the inflammatory pathway that need calcium in order to function properly. And what we've discovered was that the decrease in hydrogen sulfide during inflammation actually increases the magnitude of the calcium influx and, as a result, promotes cytokine production.
Do your findings suggest any way that you could intervene to decrease chronic inflammation in obesity or in patients with other types of chronic inflammation?
Yes, absolutely, and that's what we're very excited about. Our data suggests that by blocking the calcium influx pathway, we can actually reduce pro-inflammatory cytokine production. More specifically, the calcium influx pathway we identified as the new target of hydrogen sulfide is called the store-operated calcium entry. And this pathway can be made up of several molecular components that includes a calcium channel component called ORI. What's really interesting is that there are three different ORI subtypes or isoforms, and we found that hydrogen sulfide only affects the type 3 isoform. And this opens up the possibility that specifically targeting the ORI3 could be therapeutically beneficial in a wide range of inflammatory contexts, and not just in chronic conditions, but also in acute settings.
Is the idea of targeting ORI3 to reduce inflammation complicated by its expression in other tissues, in non-immune cells, or in cells other than macrophages?
Well, certainly that is a factor that we need to consider going forward. However, at the moment, ORI3 is actually one of the lesser characterized isoforms in this family, and so we don't really know a lot about its expression levels in other tissues. We do know that the store-operated entry pathway is a ubiquitous mechanism, and so trying to target it could show some off-target effects. So that is certainly something that we need to consider carefully going forward. Yep.
Dr. White, thanks for speaking with me.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That was Carl White discussing a paper published in the December 15th issue of Science Signaling by Velma Rugin and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and thanks for listening.